The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm Joel. We're joined by Martin. Let's jump right in to where we talk about AEW the musical. Enjoy. Let's flip over to one of the most talked about segments, one of the most divisive segments. Jim Cornette saying pro wrestling is dead, Martin. It's dead and gone because Chris Jericho and MJF have killed it. Jim Cornette has rescinded all his positive praise for MJF because we had AEW the musical. That's the biggest story from AEW right now outside of the I Quit match. What did you think?
Is the musical segment the biggest story, or is Jim Cornette the biggest story? Is that, which one are you saying is the biggest story?
I personally could
care less about Jim Cornette. And, hey, I'm a Jim Cornette. I'm a Jim Cornette fan up until, you know, he's gone a little bit off the deep end here in the last year or so for me. But historically, I've been a really enjoyed everything he's done, and I've bought stuff from his website. I've got incredible DVDs that he did, and different stuff. But yeah, so I hope that's not the biggest story. I mean,
no.
What does it matter what one man's opinion is, regardless of who that man is?
It's more fun because he's the one that reacts the most to this. Because my take on it, I'll give you my take. I enjoyed the musical, but at the end of the day, I think pro wrestling is absurd. It's always been absurd. The two grown men fighting the way that they do doesn't happen. You don't see guys doing a straitjacket German suplex in a bar fight. You just, some of this stuff.
Well, just look at UFC. You'll see the difference between a real fight. I mean, come on.
And so wrestling is, to me, like, wrestling is Japan. There's that style of wrestling with Ibushi and Naito and all that stuff. But wrestling is also DDT with everything that Ibushi did there, and I've watched some of that stuff, and it's like, this is insane, but it's entertaining. Wrestling is sports entertainment, and what WWE's done with Rock, Austin, Kurt Angle. I watched the Broken Skull session with Kurt Angle and Austin, and them talking about their Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care, all of that, and wrestling is Rock and Austin heading into 17, and the build for that, and the promo for that in the match. Wrestling is Bret Hart. Wrestling is Orange Cassidy.
It's not one thing.
No,
it's ridiculous to say it's one thing, and that it can only be one thing, and that your view of it is all it can be. Especially as it's changed, and it's changed, and it still survives. It still thrives in a lot of ways, and so look, it's, you know, just let it. Don't fight it. Just embrace the stuff that's out there that you still enjoy. And the stuff that you don't enjoy, like I'm, you know, the WWE doesn't work for me anymore. It just doesn't. So I'm not into it. I'm not following it as closely. I follow the storylines, but I don't really watch the product. But I have other stuff that I'm focused on with AEW and New Japan. And the thing about this segment is, as much as you have sitting there, you have, you know, the whole Eddie Kingston go to the land of sports entertainers. I don't think that there's been any question anyways, but if there was any question about whether or not you could consider AEW sports entertainment as compared to sports, that was put to rest. Okay.
Yep.
It's sports entertainment, but that's fine, 'cause it's better sports entertainment for me. It's not as sports entertaining, but it's also better sports entertainment for me than what the competition is doing. You know, it feels like their version of sports entertainment. It doesn't feel like WWE Lite. It just feels like a different product that happens to be sports entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. we've seen music in professional wrestling before. We've seen talent sing. And the fact that Tony Khan, MJF, and Jericho all got together and said, let's do this. Let's try this. And they took a gamble on it. It could have completely bombed.
We haven't seen anything like that before. I mean, the fact that you're still innovating, you know, and came up with something new in this day and age, that's damn impressive.
And
I didn't love the segment, by the way. I'll put that out there.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine.
I respect what they were doing.
And that's the one thing that I look at with this is you can dislike it because certain things aren't for certain people. And that's okay, and that's fine. I have no qualms with that. This is not the death of pro wrestling. This isn't some indie mud wrestling bullshit. This is AEW. And this is them trying something. And to me...
Can I ask you? How many times have we heard that this is the death of pro wrestling? I mean, damn it. The Bucks book coming out is called Killing the Business. You know, meanwhile, they're hardly... What, like, the idea that this is the death of pro wrestling and that anybody is saying that is... What are we... Are we kidding? Like... How are we still going about this and saying that's the truth? Like, we've heard it how many times? How many times do you think you've heard that phrase or a similar phrase that something's killed the business or destroyed the business or whatever in the last 10 years?
Oh, just consistently. It doesn't matter what it is. Kenny and Okada is killing the business. Kenny and the Elite are killing the business. This is killing the business. How could WWE do this? This is going to be the death of pro wrestling. Ah! Pro wrestling's not going to die. Everyone can relax. This segment is not going to make or break.
And odds are your the type of pro wrestling you like is still going to be out there. Just go find it. Yeah. And leave the other stuff to other people. You know, like I say, it's not really what I was watching. I'm like, okay, the lyrics are kind of funny, but I prefer to not. I think the segment that they did in the ring the week before was more entertaining to me, you know, than this. So, you know, but that's fine. So this didn't really work for me. This as a thing, I'm like, eh, you know, whatever. But my attitude is, okay, so this didn't work. But next week they're going to do like a town hall, you know, meeting with Inner Circle and whether or not he joins. And I'm like, I can't wait for that because this didn't work. The next time those two get together will, and I can appreciate the creativity and the talent.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, I'd much rather AEW try stuff and it not work and then learn than just be a cookie cutter, same old, same old. Let's just keep cranking out the same thing. Let's not try and be innovative and try different things out, see what works, see what we can go back to in a couple years if we need to, and maybe we'll work hard enough and we'll create a memorable moment. This has created something that people are going to go, okay, this is something I'm going to remember for better. Well,
like you talk about the different memorable moments from the, you know, the things that in the past would have offended people, but they're memorable moments, like the Jimmy Crack Corn, I don't care, with Austin and Angle. That's a totally memorable moment. And the Attitude Era was full of them. And nowadays, you know, they're few and far between because they feel like copies. This is, at least if nothing else, people will not forget this. They'll talk about this 5 years now, 10 years from now. Like, you know, it's going to be in their heads. Yeah. It's gonna last in that way. And also I viewed it as a one-off. It was like, okay, this happened one time. So one time it happened, like, move on.
Yeah. And they're going to move on. Cause it's not like they're going to break out into song in this town hall. It's going to be something. No. Again, Jericho doesn't like doing the same things over and over again. We've seen that is a very strong trait in Chris Jericho, where he likes to do things differently and continue to work and evolve and grow and change things. And in no way is this killing Chris Jericho's career. And that's laughable to say. There's no way this is going to kill off MJF's career. That's laughable. And no way this is going to kill off any talent from being scared of AEW. And matter of fact, talent might look at this, at least the smart talent, in my opinion, will look at this and go, I can go there, I can pitch ideas, and I could try something different. I could be creative over there. I could be, I'm not in a box. I get to step out of the box and be creative and find something that works. And that's the most exciting thing, because if you're a pro wrestler in North America, you have to be paying attention to AEW. You have to look at that and go, well, WWE has long been, oh, that WrestleMania moment, that WrestleMania match, the WWE as a whole. But you look at AEW and you go, oh, man, there's a lot that I could do there. And the onus is on me to go out and do it. It's not them to find me something. And that was one of the things that I believe Jack Evans talked about on Twitter, where he's like, the reason we haven't gotten pushed is we haven't been able to pitch good ideas. I'm all over the place, and the onus is on me that I'm not able to come up with something. And the guys like Cody, Tony Khan are busy with other things. And we've struggled to find something. And the onus is on us to figure something out and find a consistent path. And I think that's the thing that talent should look at and go, I can go there. I can, if I'm creative enough, I'm betting on myself. I can go in there and I can make something of myself. You look at what Orange Cassidy has been able to do. Orange Cassidy has taken the ball and ran with it. And yes, he's exactly. Looking smart. You look at suddenly a guy like John Silver, who was the Beaver Boys were nothing. Absolutely nothing. They were not on my radar at all. They get on BTE. They start being entertaining on BTE in the Dark Order. And now you're seeing that success from BTE is leading them going, okay, this guy works on BTE. This guy has a personality. Let's do a little bit more with him on Dynamite. Let's feature him a little bit more and start kind of building him up slowly and seeing what we could do with this guy, because there's something there. We don't know what it is, but we're going to figure it out with him, and we're going to work within the Dark Order storyline with him and Evil Uno, Alex Reynolds and Stu Grayson. We're going to figure out how it works. Like, Silver was on Shot of Brandy today, and he was entertaining. I enjoyed listening to his stories. Like, it just was an entertaining guy to listen to, and it's like, who knew that this guy that was part of a tag team called the Beaver Boys was going to be something that would eventually be something entertaining?
Well, that's it, though. I mean, he's allowed to, when he starts being entertaining, he's allowed to pursue it. You know, whereas Zack Ryder was entertaining and they hated it because they didn't want him to be entertaining. So they did what they could to, you know, to destroy it. And that's the thing, right? I mean, sometimes the audience will get so behind something that it gets inevitable and they can't destroy it in the WWE. But AEW doesn't want to destroy anything. They want you to succeed. They want everybody to succeed. They don't care who it is. They don't have any, you know, Silver. I mean, if Silver was this entertaining in the WWE, would he be? He'd be Drake Maverick. And Drake Maverick's career feels like it already peaked. You know, and it's a damn shame because he's clearly extremely talented, but he would have been better off actually trying to get into AEW where they would embrace his talents, his obvious talents, instead of just slot him into one spot and that's it. You're slotted in for life.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And that's where, like, I just... Because I got a few messages yesterday, the death of pro wrestling, good North American pro, and I'm like, and then you see, you get
sent. Well, you're right, it's not pro wrestling. It's
sports entertainment.
ROH is still the most closest to pro wrestling, you know, and MLW, you know, and those people, have they checked out those products? Maybe they're for them now.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I keep saying for people that don't like what they see with AEW is like, check this out. Ring of Honor's free on Fight. You can go, this is a free plug. No way are we sponsored or endorsed by Ring of Honor. And I don't think I would want any money from Sinclair. I'm going to be completely honest with you. But you can go on Fight and you can watch Ring of Honor for free. You can watch the Pure Championship Tournament for free on Fight. You'll have ads that you'll have to deal with, but you can go watch it for free. MLW.
You have ads that you have to deal with when you watch Raw. So.
Yeah. MLW is on DAZN, isn't it? Or where are they
currently? I think it's on DAZN in the United States. It's BN Sports, I believe, is the network also that they're on. But they're on YouTube. You can find them on YouTube. You can find them all over the place. So, you know, I mean, if you want that product, it's out there to find.
Yeah.
But I think YouTube is probably the best place to find them. It's the same thing with the NWA, right? They were on YouTube. They were a YouTube-based show. ROH, the Pure Tournament, if you just want pure professional wrestling, that's it. You're not going to get more than that. And I've seen a little bit of it. It is good old school professional wrestling. It's you know, the company's struggling now, but again, don't say that there is no good whatever unless you've checked out everything. And even if there is nothing, then you know what I say? If you think there's nothing good right now, then go watch the stuff that you used to watch that you did think was good. Because probably you haven't seen it in many years and there's tons of it. And, you know, hey, if you have the WWE Network membership, use it for that.
Yeah. I don't understand this.
Sick of the bitching.
There is so much out there there's so much. And if you're not liking anything with pro wrestling, there's Netflix. Up in Canada, you have Crave. You have Amazon Prime. You have so much content that you can go and watch and ingest. You've got YouTube, which is an endless rabbit hole of stuff. Some of the videos I wouldn't necessarily endorse because they're not exactly accurate, but that's another conversation for another day.
Hey, you know what? I saw it on there, though, the other day. I mean, I turned on YouTube, and what propped up? Somebody who has an old wrestling channel who put up the 1985... Crockett Cup it was like 4 hours worth of tag team wrestling gold from the NWA back in the day. It's like, you know, I don't know if it'll stay up there, but it's up there now. Go watch it and quit complaining.
Yep. Go. I watched Misawa matches on there, All Japan.
Oh, so
and I'm like, this is great. This is something different that I otherwise wouldn't be able to watch. I saw that, All Japan has t-shirts on pro wrestling tees, so I think they still exist, All Japan, correct?
Yeah, All Japan's still around. I mean, All Japan is, at one point, in the 90s, they were the biggest company over there, and they're not now, but I mean, then Noah broke out from them, and Noah became the biggest company, bigger than New Japan, and now New Japan's the biggest company. It's cyclical, you know? Yeah. They still exist, both of those companies.
It's and like watching that, learning more of the history of the four pillars of heaven. Like, it's just the whole point of this segment for me was
Kenta Kobashi is my favorite, by the way. You mentioned Misawa, but Kenta Kobashi, and that was the guy for me.
I watched his match against Joe. I just love the story that Joe tells, where he's like, Kent is building it like the foreign Japanese heel versus Joe, and Joe's like, no, you babyface.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just see the genuine emotion and reaction in Kenta Kobashi's face when he comes out, and the crowd is going insane for him. And he's genuinely shocked, and he's genuinely dumbfounded, and it's just such a great thing to see.
That's great professional wrestling. That's when ROH was really just. So again, it's there. Go watch it and quit complaining.
Like, you can go on, go on to Ring of Honor, go on to their old tape library and watch Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson and Tyler Black and Samoa Joe and CM Punk and all those guys that were just
Jericho, Kevin Steen. Yeah, I mean, Adam Cole, you know. The list is endless of guys that have gone on.
The Bucks, that when they were there, the Kenny matches, Cody when he was wrestling, Jay Lethal, probably don't check out anything with Marty Scurll. The Marty thing still hurts. That's the thing that still irks me the most from everything from the speaking out, because it just, what an absolute dumbass. An absolute... He had, and this is where I'm going off on a tangent now, but he had the wrestling world in his hands. He had so much talent, and he is a pissed it all away because he was a dum-dum. An absolute idiot for what he did. And I got two shirts. I said this on the podcast many times before. Got two shirts that are sitting in my closet that I still don't know what I'm going to do with, but I'm sure won't be wearing them in public because it's an embarrassment to wear. You bring up Ring of Honor, and I instantly think of him being the head booker and everything that could have come from that. Just, I hope Ring of Honor recovers, because it doesn't kill pro wrestling to have a company like Ring of Honor. It doesn't kill pro wrestling to have AEW. And it doesn't kill pro wrestling to have WWE around. Does WWE...
Nothing kills pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling always finds a way.
It's just pro wrestling, like anything else, just evolves. It doesn't get killed. It just evolves. It just changes. You know, the pro wrestling that Jim Cornette loved in the 70s was not the same pro wrestling that people were watching in 1910.
Yeah.
Wow. It was different. It just changes and evolves. It always has, and it always will.
Yeah. And it means that the pro wrestling in the 70s doesn't necessarily work with the pro wrestlings in 2020. And that's fine. You can look at the past, learn from it, take things that are important to carry forth with history and tradition of pro wrestling, but make it work. I personally, I don't know how you felt, but I really enjoyed Rey Fénix and Penta. There were a few spots that I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But I really enjoyed that match between these two. And I think there's a longer story.
It had the middle part, which obviously the injury and slowed down the momentum of the match. But if that hadn't happened, just think of how good that match was. And the ending was fantastic.
Yeah, I loved the story that they told. And that's the thing. At the end of the day, people are like, oh, it's just people doing flips. And I'm like, yes, there are flips involved in this, but the story was told. Penta could have finished his little brother off, and he didn't. He didn't pull the trigger. He didn't go for the arm. He didn't break it or go for the mangling his arm. He could have, and he could have won that, and he could be advancing to face Kenny, but he didn't. He had a moment of hesitation, and that caused him.
And after the match, he clearly regretted his decision.
Yep.
That's the key.
I think there's a long-term story between these two. I think we're going to get a big pay-per-view match between these two. And letting them be single stars, oh, man, is it going to be incredible.
Well, I just tell you, I hope Fénix is healthy enough that we can get that match against Omega, because, oh, man, that to me is a pay-per-view quality match easily.
What did you, speaking of Omega, what did you think of his entrance, and what did you think of his the match against Sunny Kiss?
There's not much to think about the match. I liked it because it was unexpected and different. I want to be caught off guard. That's what makes it worth watching for me. As far as the entrance is concerned, I mean, it was good. It was the start towards the heel turn. I mean, I think it was obvious when this whole thing started several months ago, the idea was that Adam Page would turn heel, and Adam Page became such a sympathetic, likable character that it's obvious now that it's Omega that needs to be the one who turns heel. So this is a progression towards that.
Yeah, and I mean, I loved the absurdity of all the list of things. Once wrestled in North Carolina.
Oh, that was hilarious.
And like, you just know it's going to irk people with, I've broken the Dave Meltzer 5-star rating 7 yep. times, the highest rated singles and tag team match in history. It's just little things like that that are just nice little digs that are going to get more and more people to get worked up and angry and aggravated at Kenny, which is yep. going to be fantastic. I like you, I don't need to see it. I don't want to see that type of match night in and night out on Dynamite. That's how you drive viewers away. And there were people that were like, this finally, they're starting to book smart. And they're starting to have all these squash matches because Sunny Kisses and people like that shouldn't get any offense in. I'm like,
why shouldn't Sunny Kiss? He's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I made the mistake.
That's bigotry. That's just bigotry. So.
There was actually some accusations thrown towards Kenny and AEW that Both Kenny Omega and AEW is anti-LGBTQ, and it was homophobic what they did to Sonny Kiss.
Well, number one, that spot was supposed to be Joey Janela, and I'm sure it would have been the exact same match.
Yep.
And it was just because Janela was had a COVID, you know, situation. So, you know, they had to change on the fly. And then they continue with the storyline. To me, that would have been Janela. It would have been the exact same match.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that a company that is willing to put out Sonny Kiss and let Sonny Kiss be Sonny Kiss and is willing to put out Nyla Rose and is willing that you would accuse them of that when look at the other company.
Yeah. And I mean, Kenny Omega has. I mean, have you've seen the TSN engraved on a nation doc on Kenny?
Of course, yeah.
And the general Kenny Omega Golden Lovers storyline between Ibushi. Yeah. I mean, yes, this is a company that is going. That was an instant eye roll. Just like no, because
just people being just the trolls. They don't even deserve our time talking about them. Let's go on to what else you want to talk about AEW, because this is one monster show, my friend.
What was it? What else was there that happened on that show?
You wanted to talk about the ending, I think. You.
Yeah, the ending. What was the ending again?
The Bucks. Tag team.
What'd you think of the Bucks? What'd you think of that
I'm
tag
team? I'm super. The match itself, I enjoyed. You know, I mean, it's too bad that, you know, Alex Reynolds apparently got hurt, got knocked out. But as far as like, I'm so confused. I know there's a long-term storyline for it. And the thinking is by the nowadays, the people that are most popular are the people that behave like dicks and don't want to be, but I do not understand the Bucks were clearly drawing as the babyface Bucks. And now you have them facing FTR and you have them be complete dicks to like Shivani and these different people for no reason. And just be really unlikable. And then you have this total baby face angle where they're attacked after, you know, after winning this match by a person in a mask who turns out to be Tully Blanchard and, you know, get the legs. And it's like the psychology of this to me is all messed up. And it's too bad. It does not take away from my enjoyment or my anticipation of the match, because I've been waiting for this match for years. I cannot wait. But the psychology of the them as performers going into it and everything, it is weird and it's unnecessary.
I'm very curious because it's very hard to figure out where they're going with stuff. Because are we going to get that match is one of the questions that I kind of started to ask myself at the end of it. And I get I get what they're trying to tell, but I shouldn't have to get it. It should just be there. But I think it boils down to the Bucks were getting so angry and frustrated that they couldn't finally get that number one contendership and finally face FTR because they believe that they are better than FTR and that they've just gone further and further down as wanting to face them. They really could have driven that home more and they could have done that a lot more simply than what they have done so far. But I just don't know if we're going to get that match at Full Gear. I feel like the rug might be pulled out from under us, and that's why they did the spot with the chair on the foot. That to me would have been a good point to have Hangman come running out and just kind of maybe because you still have that storyline going on as well right now, but you don't want.
I know they have an end game. Don't get me wrong. I know they have an end game, and I know it'll all make sense at the end. But it just feels like the timing on it is not right. And the thing about it is that. I mean, you say you think the match is going to get pulled, and that seems kind of absolutely insane to me. I mean, but if anything, that if it does have the match and the entire time the guy's selling his leg, you know, Matt's selling his leg, selling his ankle, then and it does, maybe it can make for a better match because they're working on it. But I mean, I've seen Matt selling before and he's awesome at it, but maybe it doesn't make for, maybe it hurts the match. Maybe we just need to, let's just see it one time. Just two teams, both who think they're the best in the world, face each other. And the team that loses has to go on a journey to prove that they really are as good. And that leads to eventually a second match. Kind of like what, you know, what I think we're going to see with Moxley and Omega, you know?
Kenny has to take a different journey of going full on psycho cleaner, but
he will. I suspect this is, I don't know if he beats Paige, but I do. In fact, I don't think he does. I think Paige wins, but I think it's to lead to him eventually turning a major heel and getting, and eventually as a heel, taking the title from Moxley.
Oh, so you don't think, you think Hangman's going to win the tournament?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's the
logical thing is to then that's when Kenny goes full on crazy.
Because now Kenny's just wrestling and singles. Oh, I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's my suspicion.
I was going under the impression that Kenny wins the tournament. I don't think Hangman gets screwed in the semis. Kenny doesn't really want to have anything to do with him, or Kenny and Hangman are in the finals and Kenny wins. And then it's another hurdle that Hangman has to deal with of eventually getting to next year's All Out, where you've had Kenny held the title from basically the moment he faced Moxley, which I maybe do in the new year at the beginning of the new year.
I think you're like, I just a guess again, but I think it's Kenny loses to Paige and then Kenny comes out in the Paige and Moxley match and screws Paige and then beats Paige. And then that as a full on heel gets him the title match where he takes it against Mox. That's the way I see it.
I think you're probably right. I storytelling in AEW is enjoyable. It's funny. I'm going to theorize that Darby's not going to get a singles match against Cody at Full Gear.
Oh no, that's a four-way. That's a four-way.
Totally. That's absolutely going to be a four-way. It'll be Darby, Brody, and Orange, because there's no way this Lumberjack match is not going to end in a schmoz of just bodies everywhere. And
yeah, absolutely. And Brody Lee's going to come back. He deserves a rematch, you know, blah blah blah. Yeah, it's total four way, and that'll be great. Actually, I think that'll
who do you think comes out of that one?
I don't know. I let's see how this next couple of weeks play out. I don't know right now, to be quite honest.
Would you? I'm gonna ask for your opinion, and then this will be the last question of the day. Who needs that TNT title more out of the four? Who'd you want to put it on? Would you want to keep it on Cody or
Paige? I honestly think the person who needs it the most right now is Orange. I think Orange Cassidy. I think you want to be. You've done Jericho did a great job of giving him momentum, and then he lost that match pretty decisively to Brody Lee. And I was like, why would you kill a guy with all this momentum that somebody, a legend like Jericho just put over? But they brought him back, and he kind of dominated, especially towards the end against Cody. So I think you have to be most careful about cooling him off. The gimmick of Darby Allin, he can kind of take the loss and stay the underdog who just is crappy. But yeah. I think Orange, if he, after beating Jericho, I think you have to be really careful not to, you know, lessen his star in any way.
I would agree. I'm curious to see where they go next. Thank you for listening to my rant on all things AEW. It's the one thing that I can say is they definitely got everyone talking after last night.
So I'd say 5 to 10 years ago from now, when wrestling is still going just fine, I will tell you that people will be talking about this segment, and it will be only love, because people hated certain segments back in the day in the Attitude Era that are now only loved.
Yeah, time heals all wounds. But yeah. Thank you, Martin, for coming on.
You did it right that first. That was it, Martin.
I corrected myself. Damn it. Thank you for coming on. thank you for talking the G1 and making the picks. Josh is the champion now. We got to give the devil his due. And I'm the only one out of the three that haven't won a G1 pick'em. So the pressure's on me next year.
Pressure is on you. Next year, I'm going back to just picking who I think will win matches and not trying to get in Ghetto's head too much.
I'm going to have to come in with a much better strategy. I definitely think we'll make a little bit of tweaks. I have a few ideas moving forward with it, but this was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed
I know that you've kind of floated those tweaks around about not making the picks as public, and I like that idea.
I think that's definitely something to visit, because then I think it puts even more pressure on. But we'll have to find a way to make this all work, and hopefully maybe we'll add some more bodies in there to make it even more interesting and just make it harder on me to finally win. Maybe
make my inevitable comeback that much more epic.
So we got two storylines heading into next year's pick'em. Either the man that can't win it finally wins, or the triumphant return of the two-time champ.
Or the person who pays the least attention to G1 repeats. It's three storylines.
And we have our own territory now.
Yeah. Well, you're the ultimate babyface.
Eventually I'm going to get a win. I'm so frustrated. I thought Jay was going to, I had such a lead there at one point. I thought Jay was going to win. And I was like, yes, I've got this. And then it all slipped away. And then when Ibushi went to the final, I was like, well, Ibushi's winning.
Well, and the funny thing is just a few days beforehand where I was thinking Okada now was going to the final. And you went, no, Ibushi's going to the finals. You were right on Ibushi. I see it now. He's the perfect opponent for Naito. So, yeah, it's funny. All right, let's wrap it up. I'm going to go have supper.
There you go. Thank you for listening. We'll be back more regularly heading forward as we gear up for Full Gear. And I think there's a WWE pay-per-view somewhere around, and maybe we'll talk about it. But thank you for listening.
What is it? Halloween Havoc next Wednesday. That's interesting. What is it? The House of Horror, Haunted House of Horror match or something like that?
Yeah.
This could be something.
And Johnny Gargano doesn't like wheels. That clip I did enjoy. Johnny Gargano was entertaining. Gargano was entertaining, but... Thank you for listening. We will be back with more wrestling goodness, and we'll bring Josh on at some point to gloat. So we'll all suffer through that.
Enjoy the day.
Goodbye! And good night.